This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 19th, 2019. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this special edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. And BC is finally getting a public inquiry into money laundering, and Craig James is clerk no more, as he retired in disgrace. I look at 2 days that rocked Victoria. And the Breaker will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who made a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or was last week the climax of the spring session of the British Columbia Legislature? Lawmakers returned for the last week of May, but it will be tough to match last week's plot twists. Ginny Sims, the NDP minister in charge of freedom of information, was accused again of breaking the FOI law, this time by a whistleblower that she fired. As much as Sims denied the accusations, Kate Gilley has documents that she shared with the BC Liberals who were on attack in question period. After one too many FOI foibles, are Sims's days in the NDP cabinet numbered? Will the upcoming barbecue season be even more unkind to Andrew Wilkinson? Whispers are getting louder among BC Liberal faithful, worried that Wilkinson is not going to lead the party back to power in 2021. When Wilkinson has not been extricating his foot from his own mouth, he has been apologizing for Rich Coleman's bozo eruptions. Like comparing a new farmland protection law to the Holocaust or attending an anti-abortion rally outside the legislature. Premier John Horgan finally announced a money laundering public inquiry an hour before the May 15th funeral of late Conflict of Interest Commissioner Paul Fraser at a church less than 2 kilometers from the legislature. Guess who showed up? Christy Clark. Sources told me that the ex-premier was in a jovial, campaign-like mood. Not what one would expect at a funeral. Remember when the suspended clerk Craig James said that he did nothing wrong and that he demanded his job back? Well, that was November 26th of last year, and times have changed. James suddenly retired the night before his certain firing on May 16th, after retired Supreme Court Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin found he committed misconduct by wrongfully taking hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money using various methods. Here's a quote from McLaughlin. She said, "It is hard to understand what was going through Mr. James's mind." Taxpayers aren't likely to see James repay the Treasury, but justice could still be served. The RCMP investigation continues. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Victoria, May 15th. After months of speculation, intense public pressure, and detailed reports by experts, Premier John Horgan finally announced a public inquiry into money laundering in British Columbia.
Well, the Minister of Finance, the Attorney General, and I have just left Cabinet, where we have agreed and passed the appropriate orders to hold a public inquiry into gaming and money laundering and the whole range of other activities that have flowed from the investigations that have been underway since we were sworn in as government.
BC Supreme Court Justice Austin Cullen was given a 2-year mandate by Horgan's Cabinet to hold hearings and listen to testimony on how dirty money inflated the BC economy through real estate, casinos, luxury cars, and illicit drugs.
That criminal activity has had a material impact on people, whether it be the rise of opioid addictions, the rise of opioid deaths as a result of overdoses, whether it was the extraordinary increase in housing costs. People were being affected by criminal activity in British Columbia. When we received last week the review from the expert panel and the final iteration of Mr. German's second report, it became abundantly clear to us that the depth and the magnitude of money laundering in British Columbia was far worse than we imagined when we were first sworn in.
Attorney General David Eby.
Even with many red flags, the problem of money laundering in BC is bigger than we thought and is more entrenched than we'd hoped. It is also clear that some individuals have refused to participate in our reviews voluntarily. We are done with asking nicely. Today, our government has given Justice Cullen the authority to do more than ask for voluntary participation. We have given him all of the powers to compel testimony and gather evidence that his new office as commissioner allows under the Public Inquiry Act. These powers are significant. They include the right to inspect any public place and seize records, and the right to apply to court to obtain a warrant to search a private place and seize records, the right to order an individual to attend a hearing and testify under oath, and to order that individual to produce any information or thing in that person's control, and the power to find a person who refuses to respect these orders in contempt in the same way as if an order of our courts was not followed.
Bob Mackin.
Does the definition of regulatory authorities or regulatory bodies within this order also include municipal governments, regional districts? Because municipal governments, municipal politicians, municipal bureaucrats may have been victims and they may have been complicit with the money laundering. Will Cullen allow that kind of testimony, or really compel testimony from municipal authorities?
The intent was in preparing these terms of reference to give the commissioner as much leeway as possible to identify organizations with any contact or authority or responsibility in this area to be able to be called to account. And certainly if the commissioner feels that there's a group that somehow isn't captured in the terms of reference, we would invite the commissioner to come back and ask for the terms to be modified, because the intent was to be as inclusive as possible.
Now, you have talked to federal authorities, but have you also talked to municipal authorities, to Vancouver, Surrey, Richmond, Burnaby, or UBCM?
No, there haven't been any conversations with municipal governments on the terms of reference or on a public inquiry.
The budget for the public inquiry was not announced. A four-year public inquiry into construction corruption in Quebec, called the Charbonneau Commission, cost more than $40 million. It resulted in charges and convictions of corrupt politicians and business people, new laws and new agencies to battle corruption in Quebec. Finance Minister Carol James.
Once you start clamping down on money laundering, you're looking at probably that revenue source is decreasing. How do you compensate for that?
Well, there is no question.
I think, as the Premier said clearly, money laundering impacts the economy, just as a speculative real estate impacts the economy. And yes, you saw money coming into the Treasury, into government from those activities. But when you look at the impact and the damage on the province and the people of this province, the housing crisis, for example, caused huge problems and continues to cause huge problems when it comes to our economy, recruiting and retaining workers. We have the best labor market in the country, and we have trouble getting people because they take a look at the real estate market and go somewhere else. So that has a huge economic impact. The issue of opioids and the crisis that we see that impacts families, the human crisis, but also the monetary crisis around our healthcare system and policing and the justice system. So the costs of money laundering, of losing the support for institutions in our province for having the kind of reputation, I believe has much more of an impact than looking for quick dollars coming into the budget. We need to build a long-term sustainable economy that works for people, and that excludes criminals and excludes money laundering.
This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
Government House Leader.
May 16th, question period had ended in the British Columbia Legislature. Mike Farnworth, the Government House Leader, rose to deliver an update on the clerk and sergeant at arms who were suspended with pay 189 days earlier over an RCMP investigation into corruption and waste at the BC Legislature.
Honourable Speaker, pursuant to the order by motion adopted by this House on March 7th, 2019, I rise on behalf of the official opposition House Leader, the third party House Leader, and myself to report on the conclusions of the fair, impartial, and independent special investigation conducted by the Right Honourable Beverly McLaughlin to determine whether either or both the Clerk of the Legislative Assembly, Craig James, the Sergeant-at-Arms, Gary Lenz, engaged in misconduct in the course of their employment.
Retired Supreme Court Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin was hired in early March after Speaker of the Legislature Darrell Plekis had released damning reports about his investigation into flagrant spending by Craig James and Gary Lenz.
The findings of Ms. McLaughlin are as follows. The Sergeant-at-Arms, Mr. Lenz, did not engage in misconduct with respect to any of the five allegations. Having considered the findings of the special investigator with the benefit of legal counsel and in a manner that respects procedural fairness, Mr. Lenz continues on administrative leave with pay and benefits pursuant to the motion adopted by this House on November 20th, 2018, and in accordance with the terms and conditions set out in that order. With respect to the clerk, the special investigator found that Mr. James did engage in misconduct with respect to four of the five allegations, specifically in relation to making expense claims for improper purchases of a personal nature, by directing the creation of three benefits to his personal advantage outside of established protocols, improperly removing Legislative Assembly property from the legislative precinct without accounting for it, and by improperly using legislative property for personal purposes. I wish to inform this House that Craig James has retired, effective today, and that a non-financial settlement has been reached between Mr. James and the Legislative Assembly.
James had been paid almost $180,000 while suspended, and the costs are not known for his lawyers and public relations agent. He had claimed he did no wrong, but on the eve of the report's release, he negotiated his retirement. Speaker Plekis gave his reaction to the report outside the House.
Do you think British Columbians should have confidence with the way that this place works?
I would say our goal, the goal of everyone, is to get to a place where we can. And I think this is a positive first step. We still have some ways to go. I'm very confident at the end of the day, we will be in a place where we operate the same as the rest of government.
And how quickly will that take, do you think?
I would be very confident that that will all happen within a year.
And what happens next?
Well, there's the ongoing audit. There's the workplace investigation review, which will soon start. And then, of course, there's the police investigation, which has been ongoing and continues to proceed.
Were there any surprises in the McLaughlin report?
No, again, I'm reminded that McLaughlin report, and again, I want to emphasize that, we're thrilled that we have the opportunity to have her do the review. She's an eminent jurist, of course. Her terms of references were rather narrow, and her time limits, I would say, did not afford an opportunity for her to interview everyone that we thought might have been interviewed, or leads that came up where there was an opportunity to do a full follow-up. But all of that, of sorts, is a moot point. People can read the report, and they can ask themselves, is any one of those 13 instances of misconduct, enough to make a case that, we need to change? Now, having said that, of course, Mr. James has retired. So.
Okay, any thoughts on Craig James hiring a law firm, hiring a PR firm, holding a news conference to express his, say he did no wrong, and then when push comes to shove, found in misconduct, he takes the easy way out?
Well, all I can say is that it is every single employee's right to retire. That's a matter which we would have no control over. It is what it is.
In McLaughlin's 55-page report, she found that James had committed misconduct in four ways. James broke rules by expensing two suits, three purchases of luggage, and private insurance premiums to the legislature. By creating a retirement allowance in 2012 and a resignation benefit in 2018. By removing alcohol from the legislature without accounting for it. And by keeping a wood splitter and trailer that were purchased with legislature funds at his house for almost a year. On May 16th, I sat down with Alan Mullen, Daryl Plekis' chief of staff, to ask for his reaction to the report.
Justice McLaughlin did a tremendous job. Her report speaks for itself. It confirms the validity of a lot of the concerns that were brought forward by Speaker Plekis and myself. But it's important, I think, to remember, too, that she was operating in crafting this report and doing her investigation. She was operating under a very narrow set of terms of reference. It is not a legal investigation. It was an administrative misconduct is what she was looking at. And what that is essentially conformity with Legislative Assembly rules, practices and policies. So it's important to sort of separate the two. She was operating, like I said, under those very, very narrow terms of reference, ultimately to see if there was misconduct on behalf of Mr. James and or Mr. Lenz. You know, obviously we're incredibly grateful to Justice McLaughlin for a tremendous job, but at the same time we're a little bit disappointed, not with her, but disappointed that she didn't, through those terms of reference, have a full opportunity to follow up on leads, leads such as witnesses, supplemental reports. You know, obviously it's the report has been made public and Mr. James was found to have committed misconduct in relation to actually 13 separate events. Mr. Lenz was found not to have committed misconduct. However, she does note that under the terms of reference, while something might be, in her view, wrongdoing, she could not stretch it to the misconduct due to lack of policy, procedure, or practice.
More bad news could be on the way for both Craig James and Gary Lenz.
There are still outstanding issues. There's a reason that the Sergeant-at-Arms remains on the employment status that he was placed on back in November. He was placed on leave with pay, administrative leave with pay, back in November as a motion brought by the Government House Leader, voted unanimously by the members of the Legislative Assembly. Today and moving forward, he remains on that. And why does he remain on that? Well, as the Government House Leader stated today, there are still outstanding issues. We've got a workplace review upcoming. We've got the ongoing police investigation, and we've got a full forensic audit underway by the Auditor General of British Columbia, and she is working around the clock with her team to uncover everything and anything she possibly can to paint a clearer picture and to, you know, work towards that transparency that this province so desperately needs.
Very few details about the terms of the settlement with Craig James were released. Labour lawyer Marcia McNeil negotiated on behalf of the legislature for a non-monetary agreement with a non-disparaging clause. It is also a mystery about how much taxpayers are on the hook for both James and Lenz's lawyers and their public relations bills. James told a Vancouver news conference last November that he did no wrong.
You can look at that and say, you know, anybody is allowed to retire at any time. You know, Mr. James is no different. He can choose to retire. I'm sure he thought about it. He talked about it with his family and decided he was going to retire. Sure, the timing is interesting, to say the least. The day the report is, everybody knows the report is coming out on the day, and that morning Mr. James retires. That's all fine and dandy. But this non-financial settlement, I think a lot of British Columbians are asking, well, why would that happen? And what's in it? I can't answer that question, but I would suggest that the House leaders probably can.
British Columbians await promised reforms to the Freedom of Information laws to finally add the legislature. Mike Farnworth promised that the government would make that change, but he told The Breaker recently that it won't happen until next fall.
Just the fact that the Solicitor General has made that commitment to British Columbians to update and change those FOI laws. It's huge, and it is monumental, and it's something that hasn't been there before. And, you know, obviously he agrees and government agrees that, well, yeah, it should be there. So it's another great step towards that accountability and transparency that the Speaker and I have been talking about since day one.
The BC legislature session ends at the end of May. So what's next for the Speaker and for Alan Mullen?
part of what this report shows is it has taken a tremendous amount of work and energy to reach this milestone, but we have a ways to go. We can only control what we're doing and what we're looking at. The police investigation, obviously we will continue to assist them in that investigation and be as open and honest and transparent as we can with them, but they're the police, they will do their investigation. That's ongoing. The Auditor General and her team, we will continue assisting her. We do have to start the workplace review. We've referenced a couple dozen people already, both past and present employees of the legislature who feel they were mistreated, at times terminated without cause. We've got to make these people whole. We need to make sure whistleblowers are properly heard and given the time and take them seriously. And yes, since this McLaughlin report has come out, there are more people coming out of the woodwork saying, oh yeah, I was waiting for this, I've got something to say too. And we expected that, and we expect a lot more. Also, what we want to do is, over the summer months, do a review of legislatures across the country. Not an investigation, a review, to go to other legislatures and say, what are your best practices? What do you find works for you? And why does it work for you? And you know, put it in a big collection once I visited those legislatures, and bring it back here and sit with the speaker and the clerk and say, here's some best practices from across the country. We may want to consider, we may not. But it's always good to have that sharing of information. Nobody does everything great all the time. We need to think outside the box, and maybe it takes some things that are working great in other provinces and maybe look at implementing them here. But we're not done. We're not even close to being done. The Speaker and I didn't take this endeavor on a year and a half ago for any other reason than doing the right thing, looking after British Columbians, looking after the public purse, and we have got a lot of work to do. So we've got those three investigations on the go, the audit, the police investigation, the workplace review. I'm going to do a review of other places to see what works well. And we've got a lot of people to talk to. We are committed to this and seeing it through, and that's what we're going to do. This is stage one. We're happy to be here, but there is so much more to do.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Speaker, this Prime Minister gave $10.5 million to Omar Khadr, a convicted terrorist, so that he wouldn't have to fight him in court. But when it comes to a decorated naval officer who has put his career making Canadians safe, this Prime Minister spared no expense fighting him in court. Why the double standard?
Very honourable Prime Minister.
We respect the judiciary, we respect our independent judicial process, and we will not stoop to the kinds of petty and, quite frankly, distasteful political games that the members opposite are engaged in right now. They are so desperate to not talk about the economic numbers, the job growth, the impact on Canadians.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by ordering the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a deserving person or group of people that have made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Premier John Horgan and Speaker Darrell Plekis. Horgan, for finally calling a public inquiry into money laundering in British Columbia. The people of BC want accountability, and they want justice. They want their province back. And Plekis, for being a whistleblower who gathered the evidence on Clerk Craig James and Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz that is leading to positive change at the legislature. While Lenz remained suspended, James cowardly retired at the 11th hour rather than face certain firing for waste and corruption at the legislature. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting. custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 19th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on May 19th in 1911, Parks Canada was established, becoming the world's first national parks service? Some of the most picturesque and most popular parks are Banff, Jasper, and Pacific Rim. Go visit one this summer. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.